Hi, folks. This is Bob Main. Welcome to episode 189 of today's Survival Show, helping you do what you can with what you have wherever you are. This is a common sense survival and preparedness show. No tinfoil hat stuff here. I don't go tinfoil hat on you. I don't go into conspiracy theories and all that stuff. I keep it rooted in common sense because I think common sense rules the day. And it's good to be back. I know I took about 6 months off, and it was kind of a reflection time to figure out what I wanted to do with the show. I kept telling everybody the show was not dead. I kept saying I'm not going to quit doing it. I just needed to take a break. You know, I do two podcasts. I do this one, and I also do the Handgun World podcast, and I work a full-time job, and I'm also a family man and stuff. So there's only so many hours in the day and stuff. I had to take a little bit of a break, and I wanted to try to figure out what to say next. I had pretty much kind of covered most of the topics, and so I figured, you know, just a little bit of a break would do me some good, and it would get me fired up for coming back, and that it certainly did. So this is a show where I pretty much just talk about what I've been doing the last 6 months and see if you can relate to it as far as prepping and common sense survival. So again, like I said, I'm just going to throw it out there, let you digest it, and take the best and leave the rest. As I always say, you may not agree with everything I do or say, and that's okay. I don't want you to. Just take the best, leave the rest. Real quickly, my website, www.todayssurvival.com. If you want to send me an email, bob@todayssurvival.com. If you want to join our forum, we have a forum, Today's Survival Show Forum. Please send me an email and let me know that you have signed up. This is how I help keep spammers away. It's a small forum, but it's a good forum, packed with good information. And I police it fairly well so we don't get a bunch of knuckleheads attacking people on that forum. Just send me an email, bob@todayssurvival.com, and tell me that you signed up and tell me what username you used. And I'll approve your account within 24 hours and you can get started. With that said, let's go down my list of things I've been doing for the past few months to kind of keep on prepping, because that's the whole goal here. Now, the first thing I did is on my vehicle emergency kit, the transition from the warm weather here in South Texas where I live. I live in San Antonio, Texas now. The warm weather is turning cooler. And, of course, by South Texas standards, cooler means 50s and 60s. And we get down to the 40s and 50s and occasionally 30s, but not very often. And so some of you are going, ha, that's nothing. I just got back from a trip to my homeland in Wisconsin. I took my son to a Green Bay Packer game. They won. They beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. We have season tickets. And we're up there. And, you know, the game time temperature was 42 degrees. And my son's like, oh, this is cold. Well, he doesn't know what I went through growing up. I went through some serious cold in northeast Wisconsin when I was growing up. He doesn't get it because he's spent most of his life growing up here in Texas. But anyway, my vehicle emergency kit. Let's do a quick review. Some of this stuff is actually in the bag and some of it just stays in my car. Extra blankets, extra scarves, extra gloves, coats. You need to have that stuff, especially those of you who live up in the colder climates. You know, are you? It's amazing to me how many people do not travel around with that stuff. I do here in South Texas, where it really doesn't get all that cold. But I like to keep myself comfortable. I'm a big believer in comfort. I don't know about you, but hey, if the stink hits the fan, even if it's a short-term event, I want to be as comfortable as possible. Don't you? And that kind of stuff helps keep me more comfortable. I rotated the food that I had in my vehicle survival kit. I had some canned food and some vacuum packaged food in there. Ate that about 6 weeks ago. It was still all very good, so it's important to rotate it, and I replenished it with some fresh food. Pretty much about every 3 to 6 months, I like to rotate that food and keep it as fresh as possible. I also rotated the water. I like to travel around with at least a case of bottled water in the trunk of my car. I am in the Today's Survival Show mobile studio right now, which is my little 2002 paid-for Honda Accord with 119,169 miles on it. And I throw a case of water in the trunk. Now, I don't have to worry about it freezing back there, freezing solid here in South Texas. I understand if you're up in the northern climates, you have to worry about that come probably December, January, and February, right? You'll be carrying around a case of bottled ice instead of a case of bottled water. I get that. But down here in the warmer climates, it's not going to freeze solid, so I always keep spare water. Now, the other thing that I recently added to my vehicle kit that I feel more comfortable carrying is a very nice survival knife. Now, I have a K-Bar Becker Companion, a K-Bar BK Becker Companion. I think it's a BK2. I'm not sure about that. But it's a nice knife. It's got like an 8.5-inch blade or something like that. Very heavy-duty, very thick blade. That is now in my vehicle survival kit because my home survival knife has been replaced by a wonderful knife made for me by Eric Fritz. Eric Fritz at fritzknives.com. Check out his work. Eric, I know you're probably listening. Let me give you a shout-out. fritzknives.com. F-R-I-T-Z knives.com. Check out his work. He interviewed on this show several months ago and also on the Handgun World podcast. He interviewed. It was all about knife making. So he made a custom knife for me. That now sits at home. That sits at home as my survival knife because it's a beauty. And I wouldn't want to risk it getting stolen. But this K-Bar that I bought, I think I got it for about $80 at a gun show. And I feel very good about it. I feel very good about it holding up and doing real well as a good survival knife. It's a heavy-duty, thick knife. Thick blade, and it's heavy-duty, and I like it, and it handles well. So that's been added to my vehicle survival kit. And that's about it. Those are the changes that I've made recently. Everything else pretty much stays the same. I keep tools in there. I keep some basic tools, some basic wrenches, and some basic screwdrivers, a couple of flashlights. I've got shelter-making material in my vehicle survival kit. Do you have shelter-making material? I tell you, I feel pretty good about some paracord, some rope, and I've got half a dozen of the big 55-gallon trash bags, the construction-grade, contractor-grade trash bags that I picked up at Home Depot. I can make some shelter with that if I need to. I keep a chair. I keep a folding chair in the trunk of my car. You know, if I have to, if I'm stranded on the side of the road, I can pretty much rig up a shelter by tying the trash bags, making a roof with the trash bags and tying them to my vehicle and things like that. And making some shelter. And if I need to, I can use my vehicle as shelter, although that's not always real practical, but it would work and things like that. So I travel a lot. I log 3,500 miles a month, so I have to think about these things. My real job is I'm an outside salesperson for a hotel security company. I sell hotel security products. By that I mean the guest room locks and all the locks and the hardware that secure the building and the front desk security and all that. That's what I do. That's my full-time profession, traveling around two states, Texas and Louisiana. So I have to think about this kind of stuff when you're a road warrior like I am. So I also have a couple of firearms. I travel with these in my vehicle in the state of Texas. It's perfectly legal. I can do that. I have a Texas concealed carry license, which covers me in all the states that I travel to. But in the state of Texas, you can carry in your car whatever you can own at home. So a couple of firearms in here with some extra ammo and stuff like that. One of them is actually in my kit. The vehicle emergency kit that I use, I can throw it on my shoulder and be on foot with it. And I have plenty of materials in there to sustain me for 72 hours or more in that bag that I can just throw on my shoulder in case I have to go on foot, in case I have to hitch a ride or whatever the case may be and I have to go mobile. Now, if you're thinking about what to pack it in, what to pack everything in. I highly recommend one of the internal frame packs that you can pick up. I got mine for about $59 on sale at Academy Sports and Outdoors. It's just an internal frame backpack. It's got an internal aluminum frame. They're easy to carry. They're comfortable to carry. It helps support the weight. I can load a lot of stuff in that. And, you know, that works great. So you might want to think about that. It's a very inexpensive, very practical, very strong survival vehicle, survival kit. I also want to invite you to, if you're wondering, if you have a pickup truck, for example, and you're wondering what kind of personal security stuff to carry in your vehicle, a gentleman named John Hadaway interviewed with me. He's a firearms guy. He's a trainer at Nighthawk Custom Training. And episode, I believe, let me see. Let me get the episode number for you. Hold on. Okay, it's episode 197 of my Handgun World podcast entitled What's in Your Car? John Hadaway and I talked about self-defense preparations while traveling. And he talks about, you know, what he keeps in his vehicle. He talks about knives and first aid kits and just a lot of general preparedness items that you might not think about. So hop on over to handgunworld.com if you're not already subscribed. You might want to subscribe to that if you like guns. But even if you don't subscribe, hop on over to handgunworld.com and listen to episode 197. Episode 197. I will put a link in the show notes about episode 197. And it's entitled What's in Your Car? And we did a really good interview there. And he's got this box that sits underneath the seat in his Ford F-150 pickup. And it's pretty cool. I mean, he's got all kinds of stuff, not just guns, but he's got a lot of good preparedness items. So rather than burn up a whole bunch of time repeating that info, I'll just invite you to go listen to episode 197 entitled What's in Your Car at my Handgun World podcast. Now, at home, some things that I've been doing. I pulled out my Coleman stove, my propane stove, and I fired that up, made sure that it was working, and I actually cooked a meal with it. I think it's important to test your equipment. I mean, you know, here's one thing that I want to urge you to do. A lot of us have a lot of good prepping tools. And I've got a nice Coleman propane stove that I can use to, you know, in case something happens, a weather event or something like that, and I can't use my stove at home. We have an electric stove, so, you know, I'm kind of SOL if I lose power for a long time. So I've actually got two Coleman stoves, and one of them I hadn't tested in quite a while. So I pulled it out, made a meal with it. It's important to do that. Because if you got problems, it's important to know that you've got problems with your equipment before the stink hits the fan. Now, the other thing my wife did recently, which is a huge help, and something that we neglect, and I hope that you don't neglect it, my wife completely rearranged our pantry. My hat's off to her. She spent hours of hard work completely rearranging our pantry. And boy, is that a help. Because I thought I was out of room, but that's not the case. We just needed to organize it more. And once she organized everything, wow, it opened up a whole lot more room to store stuff in our pantry, to store food and to store water and even supplies. And we store some first aid stuff and extra medicine and everything in our pantry. So if you haven't done it, go arrange it. Go organize it. Go clean out all the junk. If you're like me, we had junk in the pantry that just needed to be thrown out. You know what? I would say it should probably be an every 90-day project. Once every 90 days. Four times a year. Rearrange your pantry. Some of you I know listening to this might have several pantries. Some of you live in parts of the world where you can have basements in your home. And you probably store a lot of your supplies in your basement. Go organize it. Clean it out. It's really easy to just start throwing stuff in there, isn't it? And then all of a sudden it's cluttered. Here's the problem. When you got a lot of clutter, it's hard to know exactly what you have. So I came home from a trip and my wife had the pantry all organized, and wow, was that ever cool. So thank you, honey, for doing that, because now we can see what we have. We can see what we need to add to, what we're falling short on. That's a big thing to do. So, next topic I want to talk about here is some mental preparations, which I think is extremely important. One thing that has been really tough, but we're doing it, we're trying to stay positive amidst all the negativity now because it's the election season. And by the time you hear this podcast, I'm going to release it on Friday, which is the 2nd of November. I'm going to release this Friday morning, November the 2nd, which here in the United States is only 4 days before our presidential election. There's been a lot of negativity going on. You know, a lot of negativity from supporters of both sides, whether you support Mitt Romney or whether you support President Obama. Negative, negative, negative. Oh my God, the world is going to come to an end if our candidate doesn't win. Now, if some of you follow me on Facebook, you know who I support. And I'm not saying that politics is not important. But folks, it's not the end of the world. Okay? It's not. Personal responsibility is far more important than what any knucklehead politician is or is not going to do. If you set yourself up properly and you prepare properly, you can minimize the effect of what government does. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't rein in government. I'm not saying that government cannot be a negative force. Yes. There are plenty of examples all over the world where you can see that government definitely is at many times oppressive. But I really believe that the human spirit depends a lot on your level of preparation and how well you can mitigate yourself, how well you can mitigate the damage is what I'm trying to say. That an oppressive government can do. So we got all this negativity. So I am trying to stay as positive as possible. Sure, I would like to see the election swing a particular way. But I'm not going to get up on November 7th if it hasn't swung the way I want it to go and just give up and throw my hands in the air and say, oh, well, phooey, I guess we're all screwed now. No, folks, I'm not going down that easy. How about you? So I'm trying to get back into reading again. Reading is tough for me. But I'm trying to, whatever spare time I have when I'm not working or doing this podcast or doing my other podcasts or spending time with my family or, you know, teaching a firearms class and stuff like that. Whenever I'm not doing that stuff, whenever I have a little bit of extra time, which is, you know, like 45 minutes a day, I'm filling my brain with more positive stuff. So if you listen to this podcast, I'm glad that you do that. Try to turn the TV off as much as possible. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to turn the TV off as much as possible because it's so negative. I have a hard time being negative. I was raised positive. You know, a lot of you know, if you've been listening to me long enough, you know my background. I was raised on a hobby farm. What that means is we farmed, but we were not commercial farmers. We didn't farm to sell what we produced. We farmed to provide for ourselves most of the food that we ate. You know, we farmed for ourselves, and that's the way I grew up for a large part of my childhood. And, you know, my mother was pretty much a stickler about not watching a whole lot of TV. And I have to admit that recently my family and I got into a little bit too much TV watching. So we cut that back. I switched from cable over to satellite and cut back the television plan anyway. So there's not as much TV available to watch, even if we want to. I do like to fill my mind with some sports once a week. For me, sports is kind of an escape. I don't get, you know, emotional and bummed out for 3 days if my team doesn't win, like you see a lot of people do. I'm not that serious about it, but it's a good escape. I believe in having an escape. I have two escapes, two stress relievers. And I'm going to talk about that coming up here in just a minute. My two stress relievers are shooting and sports. So I go out to the shooting range and I fire a couple hundred rounds through any gun, whether it's a handgun or a shotgun or a rifle, and I relieve a lot of stress. And that's a good way for me to just get rid of a lot of garbage. And sports. Sports is kind of a good stress reliever. I really believe you need to have something. Whatever it is, pick your hobby, pick your passion, go do it. But try to turn off the TV and some of the negative talk radio show hosts out there. Try to turn them off as much as you possibly can. Only tune in just enough to pick up on some of the current events, although even that is not all that practical because it's so slanted. You know, the media is so slanted one way or the other. Internet sources are so much better, most of them. Listening to positive podcasts like this and some of the other many good podcasts that are out there, I think it's far more productive. So I've been doing a lot of that lately and trying to cut back on watching negative TV and listening to negative radio. Another thing that I've been doing is trying to reconnect with my faith. You know, every once in a while I don't give God enough time, and I don't push religion on you. I'll never push religion on you. This show is not about politics and it's not about religion. I am a Christian and I do not apologize for that. That is my belief, and that's something that I will always profess freely. But I will also tell you that I have not been paying enough attention to that lately. So I'm kind of reconnecting with that, getting into Scripture a little bit more. And whatever faith you have, I'm not going to say that you're wrong. Whatever faith you have, just reconnect with it, okay? I think it's important. You know, I believe that human beings are built for that. And I know some of you might be thinking, I'm an atheist, Bob. It's your right to be an atheist, okay? And if you are, you know, if you are, I wish you could find some peace that comes from faith, but if you don't, I understand. And I'm not going to say that you're a bad person if you are an atheist. But for me, anyway, it plays a big role in my life, and I've been reconnecting with that, and it's been helping me. It helps bring a peace about me, which I think is, you know, I talked a few minutes ago about stress relief. So that's how I want to end this podcast. This is kind of a short show here. But that's okay, because I wanted to talk about stress relief. Stress relief, I think, is a huge preparation survival skill that not enough people talk about. Stress is a killer. One thing that has really helped me reduce my stress is I've lost 20 pounds in the last 2.5 months. I've gotten rid of 20. Actually, I was down 23 pounds, put a few back on, trying to get rid of about another 15. Trying to get rid of about another 15 pounds to get down to my old fighting weight. My old fighting weight, which was about 178 pounds, is what I used to be. Not too long ago, about 4 years ago. And I'm about 15 pounds from that. I'm about 193 right now. That has reduced a lot of stress, folks. Wow, I can't tell you how much losing weight helped. What a survival skill. Think about this. Think about if the stink hits the fan. You know what I mean? Hey, Hurricane Sandy just hammered the northeast part of the United States recently. What if something like that hits your area? And all of a sudden, you've got to start doing some physical work. Maybe you've got to start rebuilding your homestead. Maybe you've got to get family members to safety and you can't drive there or something and you've got to walk. Are you in shape? Are you in reasonably good shape? I've been battling high blood sugar and high cholesterol lately. And guess what? My blood sugar and my cholesterol, I'm not diabetic, but I was way too close for comfort. My blood sugar and my cholesterol have been coming down because I've been losing weight and I've been staying in better shape and getting active. And that could pay huge dividends if I have to get physical in a survival situation. And, you know, think about it, folks. There's all kinds of reasons you may have to get physical. You might have to defend yourself. And you might have to physically defend yourself. You may have to carry a family member, like a child, to safety. Can you do that? You may have to walk several miles to get to safety. Can you do that? You may have to rebuild your home or a building or a portion of your home. And you may have to do it yourself. You might enlist the help of some neighbors or some relatives, but there may not be any professional help available if a disaster strikes. And you have to do it. Are you in physical shape to do that? Can you pull it off? I feel much better about myself having gotten rid of some of the extra weight recently, and just eating right. You know, my doctor gave me a wake-up call, a recent doctor visit. You know, he said, man, you got to watch the blood sugar. You got to watch the high cholesterol. By the time you hear this podcast, I'm just going to be very close to 51 years old. So I got to see, I got to really pay attention to that kind of stuff. And boy, do I feel better. So I got to brag about it. I'm not trying to toot my own horn. I want this to be a motivator for you. If you need to shed some pounds, get serious about it. Get radical. See who can be the biggest loser of weight. And get healthy. You'll be healthier losing weight. There's just an extremely good chance you're going to be healthier losing weight. Okay, the last thing I want to talk about on this episode, certainly not the least. I have spent the last 6 or 7 months developing a second source of income. And this is another reason why I had to give this podcast a break for a while. I am a huge, huge believer of multiple sources of income. I used to have two sources of income. One of them dried up, so I had to replace it. That's a philosophy that I have, is when one of my preps, for whatever reason, disappears, I need to set an immediate goal of replacing it. So I started a firearms training business with actually two companies. I became a firearms trainer for Suarez International. Gabe Suarez's company, and also I do independent classes, independent of Suarez International, with my buddy Ben Branham. And that's starting to pay some dividends. That and some internet money-making ventures that we've jumped into, it's producing a small stream of income, but it is extra income. And I do this, is in preparation for possibly losing my job. Now, I do not believe that I'm in any danger of losing my job anytime soon. Thank God. I'm very thankful for that. But hey, just in case, this is a survival and a common sense preparation podcast, right? So you got to be thinking about just in case. Unfortunately, we have way too many people in this country that if they lose their only source of income, they can't. A lot of people can't make it more than 30 days without an income. And they're in some severe, dire straits. So I've done a couple things. I've padded my insurance, my emergency fund. In other words, I've added more money to my emergency fund based on what I make from my second source of income. And I help use that income to add some more to my financial emergency fund, which I'm a huge Dave Ramsey fan, as many of you know. And I really believe in financial peace, and those emergency funds are so important. So, developing a second source of income, which I intend to expand, it has really been helping out quite a bit. And all this stuff helps you sleep better at night, folks. It really does. I got to tell you, this is good stuff. This is good feeling stuff. I can go to bed feeling much more comfortable, and it reduces stress. That's the key. So if you haven't figured it out, I'm a huge proponent of reducing stress as a survival skill, a prepping skill. It's a must. It's definitely a must. So, with all that said, I hope that this short podcast has given you some things to think about. If you want some more educational material and you want to support the work I do now that I've gotten back into regular podcasting once a week, my Survival Champions Club is a premium podcast. Many of you have been very supportive. I've got quite a few really good interviews on there. Matt Brasick from Midwest Disaster Medical talks about some first aid and some simple medical preparations. My good friend Matt Chusnick in Austin, Texas talks about knife and tool sharpening on that Survival Champions Club. My good friend Wade from Louisiana talks about how to use herbs. and how to grow herbs and use them for medicinal purposes and nutritional purposes and things like that. A lot of good stuff on the Survival Champions Club. Yours truly is on there giving you some unique information that I have never covered on any of the numerous episodes on today's Survival Show. It's only $20. Go to www.todayssurvival.com. Proceeds help to support the work. As you know, I do not have sponsors on this show, so you don't have to listen to a bunch of commercials. You get 30 minutes to an hour of good, hard-hitting, useful information. And you don't hear me go through this long litany of sponsors and commercials. It's entirely listener-supported. So for $20, I think you're going to find it well worth it. I will email you a link to download the special Survival Champions Club podcast. Just go to todayssurvival.com, click the Buy Now button if you wish to support me. With that said, thank you for listening to another episode of Today's Survival Show, helping you do what you can with what you have wherever you are. I'm Bob Main. Thanks for tuning in. I'll catch you next week. Goodbye.